Das kann auch sagen, dass ich mich schwagen, wenn wir heute sagen, dass ich super stuff tun test. Sagt die Gemara Shmuel, dass Allah falls Rabbi Yochanan Asander, that you cannot be makdish something that is not yet in existence. Vielleicht mal, we find elsewhere regarding vows, that Shmuel says a vow can take effect on something that is not yet in existence. Rabbi Yosef said, regarding vows, since one can make someone else's items usher on himself through a vow, you could also make a vow to take effect on something that's not yet in existence. However, regarding making something hegdish, since you cannot make someone else's item hegdish, you also cannot make something that is not yet in existence into hegdish. Abaye asked, a person can make someone else's fruit usher on himself, since he can make his own fruits usher on somebody else. But how can we say that he can make something not yet in existence usher on somebody else when he can't make someone else's fruit usher on someone else, on a third person? So Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Shua, said, the case of the vow was where a woman said that her hands should become hegdish, not just her earnings. Since her hands are in existence now, that work that will come on later, it now becomes now usher to her husband because her hands are in existence now. For example, a woman is obligated to work for her husband, so how could she even make her hands hegdish? Mar says she says that when she gets divorced, her hands will become hegdish. For example, can it be that even something that can't be made hegdish now, it can still be made hegdish at a future time? Rabbi Lehi said, there's no reason that it shouldn't work. If someone's selling his field and says to the buyer, when I buy this field back from you, it should become hegdish, it would become hegdish. So there's no reason this should be different. Rabbi Yemi asked, the case is very different. In that case, the field is in his possession at the time of this statement. However, a woman, while she's married, cannot affect the divorce and can therefore not make her hands hegdish. If anything, the woman is more like the case of someone who sees a field and says, when I decided to buy that field from some outside party, it should become hegdish, in which case it won't become hegdish. Rav Papa said, it's not a good comparison because the field and its produce are owned by the same person, whereas the hands of a woman are owned by herself, but the produce of those hands are owned by the husband. If anything, it's similar to a case where someone pledges field, where the one receiving the pledge is allowed to eat the produce, and says that when I redeem the field back, it will become hegdish. In that case, it does become hegdish. Rav Shishi Shabreda of EDS, those cases are also, they're not similar because the pledger has the power to redeem the field, whereas this woman doesn't have the power to divorce herself. If anything, she's like the case of a pledger who agreed that he won't redeem the field for 10 years and then says that when I redeem it, it should become hegdish. In which case, it doesn't become hegdish because he doesn't have the power to redeem it now. Rav Ashi asked, these cases are also not similar because in the case of the field, after 10 years, at least he'll have the power to redeem the field, whereas this woman never has the power to divorce herself. Rav Ashi said, the case of vows, therefore, is not problematic because Rava has said that vows, meaning koinomois, vows, even remove an item from a lien. Therefore, when the woman vows that her hands become koinam, it's effective even though they're subject to the husband. If so, why don't they become hegdish immediately? Mar says, the Rabbanan said that they can't become hegdish as long as she is still in the reshus of the husband. Zok the Mishnah, the following are the jobs that a woman must do for her husband. She has to grind the grain into flour, she has to bake, she has to wash the clothing, she has to cook, she has to nurse the children, she has to make the beds, and she has to do work, and she has to do some work with the wool. If she brought a maid into the marriage, she doesn't have to grind, bake, or wash the clothes. If she brought two maids in, she also doesn't have to cook or nurse the children. If she brought in three maids, she doesn't even need to make the beds or work with the wool. If she brought in four maids, she can sit and do nothing. Eliezer says, even if she brought in 100 maids, he can force her to work with the wool because doing nothing brings to znus. Hashem Gamliel also, he says that also one who makes a vow prohibiting his wife from doing work has to divorce her and give her a ksuba because doing nothing leads someone to go crazy. Frek de Gemara, a woman doesn't grind, it's the water mill that does the grinding. Zaki says she has to grind. The Mara says the Mishnah means that she has to oversee the grinding. Or the Mishnah is referring to someone who's using a hand grinder. Our Mishnah, Zaktamar, does not follow Rabbi Chiya because he says that a wife is only for beauty, not for doing any work. Our Mishnah says clearly that the wife has to do work. The Mishnah said, Umeiniko es bino. In fact, tomorrow, our Mishnah seems not to follow Beishamai, because Beishamai said that a wife who vows not to nurse her child has to stop nursing her child, whereas Beis Hillel say that the vow is not effective. Now, if she had an obligation to do so, then the vow would not take effect. So clearly, our Mishnah doesn't follow Beishamai. So our Mishnah may be talking about where the husband upheld her vow, and that's why it takes effect, because he himself also upheld the vow, and therefore it's not just she who's making the vow. In fact, tomorrow, if so, they should argue regarding the ksuba in general, not the specific case of nursing. Also, Brisa clearly says the Beishamai say that a woman is not obligated to nurse her child. Mar says, you're right, we have to say that our mission doesn't follow Beishamai. The Brisa said if a woman is divorced and her child only wants to nurse from her, the husband can force her to nurse the child and must pay her for doing so. How old does a child have to be that we can say that he actually recognizes the mother and therefore she has to nurse him if that's what he wants? So Rav in the name of Yirmiyahu, in the name of Rav, said 3 months. Shmuel said 30 days. Rav Yitzchak in the name of Rav Yechanan said 50 days. Rav Simon bar Abaya said halacha like Rav Yitzchak in the name of Rav Yechanan, which is 50 days. Is it possible to say that a child recognizes his mother at 30 days old already? Rav said, Rav bar Yechanan said, Shmuel never actually gave that time. He just said that he has to be able to recognize his mother, and it depends on the child. He never actually said 30 days.